Well, good afternoon and welcome to the Good Friday service. You know, I'm always so grateful for a church calendar that has created services like a Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, because I need help. I need help to reflect on that most holy week and what it means in our lives and what it means to our families and to us personally. This afternoon, we're going to hopefully do that together. We're going to do it through song, and we're going to do it through reading the story of the crucifixion in Luke 23. And that reading time is meant solely for reflection, to sit and to remember. And we're going to do it through some teaching as well. And so we're glad you're here with us, and just invite you to join with us as we reflect. Would you pray with me as we begin? Jesus, thank you. Jesus, you died for us, and we are so grateful. Lord, would you be here this afternoon as we remember? Would you help us to remember well? Would you be glorified? We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Then the whole company of them arose and brought him before Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this man misleading our nation and forbidding us to give tribute to Caesar, and saying that he himself is Christ, a king." And Pilate asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And he answered him, "You have said so." Then Pilate said to the chief priests and the crowds, "I find no guilt in this man." But they were urgent, saying, "He stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, from Galilee even to this place." When Pilate heard this, he asked whether the man was a Galilean. And when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at the time.
When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him, because he had heard about him and was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned him at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. And Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him. Then, arraying him in splendid clothing, he sent him back to Pilate. And Herod and Pilate became friends with each other that very day, for before this they had been at enmity with each other. Pilate then called the chief priests and the rulers of the people and said to them, "You brought me this man as one who was misleading the people. And after examining him before you, behold, I did not find this man guilty of any of charges against him. Neither did Herod, for he sent him back to us. Look, nothing deserving death has been done by him. I will therefore punish and release him."
But they all cried out together, "Away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, a man who had been thrown into prison for an insurrection started in the city and for murder." Pilate addressed them once more, desiring to release Jesus. But they kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" A third time he said to them, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found in him no guilt deserving of death. I will therefore punish and release him." But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate decided that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, for whom they asked, but he delivered Jesus over to their will. This is the word of the Lord.
There are countless things that we could reflect on around Good Friday. There are countless things we could reflect on around the crucifixion. We could reflect on his humility, his submission. We could look at his answers to Pilate and to others. We could reflect on the horrendous torture that is a crucifixion. His friends that deserted him. And we could talk about the thieves on the cross, but today we decided we would look at the heart of God as seen in the crucifixion. And I hope with everything going on in our world, for some of us, it's the world surrounding us, it's the brokenness of the world that has worn us out. For many of us, we've maybe even seen our sin in a way this year that we've never seen it before. And it's heart-wrenching. And so as we pause and remember that day, Our hope is that we would remember the heart of God, and I want to narrow it down to two things that are almost pinnacle moments in the cross: his wrath and his mercy. His wrath and his mercy. His wrath is seen in the curse of the cross. It's seen in the torture. It's seen in the exclamation of Jesus, "Why have you forsaken me?" It's seen in the cup that Jesus asked the Father to take from him. It's seen in the shouts from the crowds, the beatings, the floggings, the crown of thorns, the pierced hands and feet. Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming accursed for us. For it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree." When we look back and we gaze at this crucifixion, you see someone who is cursed because of the wrath of God towards sin. And we see his mercy. We see his mercy and the determination of Jesus to continue to go towards the cross. We see it in him healing the ear of the servant of the high priest who was healed. We see it in the gentleness of Jesus, even in all the interactions from garden to the grave. We see it in Jesus taking the place of a treasonous murderer, Barabbas. We see it in the thief on the cross. It's seen in Jesus caring for his mother, Mary, even as he's being tortured. It is seen in the veil in the temple that is torn in two. It is seen in the blood that flows, the spotless innocence of Christ, and it is seen in his final words, "It is finished." Ephesians 2 tells us that God is rich in mercy. It is the only thing in Scripture that God is described as being rich in mercy. This was not a mercy that had to be extracted from Jesus. This is a mercy that he willingly showed. John 10:18 says, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father." The theologian Herman Bavinck put it this way. He said, "And just so, the death of Christ is a revelation of his kingly power, for his death was not a fate he had to undergo, but a deed which he himself willingly and voluntarily achieved." So today, behold his mercy. We're going to take a moment now just to give pause for all of us in this room, pause, a time to just reflect on what this day means. And if you don't know what to fix your thoughts on during this time, this brief moment here, I would encourage you to think on the wrath and the mercy of God as we see it in the crucifixion of his son, Jesus. Take that moment now.
And as they led him away, they seized one, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid him on the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, 'Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bore, and the breasts that never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?" Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And they cast lots to divide his garments.
And the people stood by, watching. But the rulers scoffed at him, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." There was also an inscription over him, "This is the king of the Jews." One of the criminals who hanged railed at him, saying, "Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said to him, "Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise."
It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, when the sun's light failed, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. This is the word of the Lord.
Beholding his wrath and mercy should have us today pausing and looking closer at our sin. Asking the question, wrath poured out on what? Mercy for what? Ephesians 2 says, "And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind." Jesus didn't have to die because we weren't perfect. Jesus had to die because we were dead in our sins and in our trespasses. Jesus had to die because we were enemies. We were hostile in our minds towards God. Today, at some point, reflect back on all the destruction, just this year, the destruction in our world. The root of all of it is sin. And then I would encourage you to internalize it. All the hard in the home, all the hard at work, it's from our sin. What's broken at home? What's broken in your relationships? Some of us this year have come face to face with our addictions. Some of us have come face to face with our anger, face to face with our apathy, our lack of faith. All of this deserves death. The wages of sin is death. Jesus came to die because he had to redeem us as a people for himself. This sin has destroyed things internally and outwardly. Internally, it has blinded our minds, as Ephesians 4 tells us. Romans 1 tells us that our senses have become even reprobate. We have delusions, 2 Thessalonians says. A hardness of heart, Romans 2 reminds us. A horror within even our own conscience, Isaiah 33 says. And our affections have turned vile. Outwardly, there's a complete breakdown of ourselves and our world. Psychologically, emotionally, relationally, everything is broken and marred because of sin. Our world, all of it, all the work is hard. Death and decay are everywhere. Our sin, Even if you were just to look around this room, our sin represented in this room nailed Jesus to the cross. And Good Friday every year is a time for us to slow down and to pause and to remember. To remember with gratitude. So we're going to enter now into a time of corporate confession, confessing our sins together. So we're going to have this on the screen and we're going to read it together to lead us into a time of personal confession. Read this together with me. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we confess that we have betrayed and denied you. We have forgotten your goodness and placed our faith in other things. We have doubted your sacrifice, questioned your love, and rejected your grace. Forgive us and help us to repent and to place our faith fully in you. You are the one who lived, who died, and who was crucified for our sake. In your name, Jesus, the Messiah, we pray. Amen. Take now a time of personal confession before the Lord. But it is indeed Good Friday. And we intentionally spent time there confessing our sins and leaving out the normal next step of a Sunday, the assurance of pardon. And it's just kind of a physical way to remember that week, to remember that that assurance is not stamped and sealed until Sunday. But the wrath of God had to be absorbed. The mercy had to be accomplished. And wrath and mercy meet beautifully in what we call the atonement. In short, Jeremy Treat says in his book on the atonement, he says, in short, the means of atonement is substitution. Christ died in our place for our sins. I don't know how many times you've experienced Good Friday, but sometimes those simple sentences can just move right past us. If there's one thing I would pray that you'd be running past your heart and your mind all day today, Christ died for me. Christ died for me. He died for my sins. Jesus was crucified for my sins. Jeremy goes on to beautifully describe this atonement. He says, the Messiah took on all the consequences of our rebellion so that we can experience all the blessings of his kingdom. This is the great exchange. He died so that we can live. He was cursed so that we can be blessed. He was wounded so that we can be healed. He went into exile so that we can be at home. He was crushed so that we could be made whole. He carried our guilt so that we can be forgiven. He bore our shame so that we can receive honor. He experienced defeat so that we can have victory. He was condemned so that we can be declared innocent. He took our moral stains so that we can be washed clean. He was plunged into darkness so that we can walk in light. Jesus died in our place. The atonement is why it is indeed Good Friday. And I wanted to summarize or end our reflection here this afternoon, really referring to what John says in John 19 about the crucifixion, one of Jesus' last words of all the things that he could say at the end of his life. In the midst of that suffering, every breath is excruciating. Knowing in his omniscience that it would be recorded, knowing in his omniscience that his people would cling to this account. Jesus answers, or Jesus says with his very intentional words, it is finished. Jesus died in my place. It is finished. It's not partially finished. The project didn't just begin to reach our atonement in Jesus' suffering and death. But the Savior, the Word of God made flesh, the creator and sustainer of all things, the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, chose as one of the last things that he says before he takes his last breath, "It is finished." Martin Lloyd-Jones does something powerful with this moment. And he takes it, he makes it extremely personal. He says to my Christian friends who have that sin that haunts them from the past, maybe to my Christian friends who maybe week after week don't have any trouble recognizing their sin, he says, "Believe your Savior. It is finished." My prayer going into this service today has been only that. That for many of us, we have seen the sin around us, but we really truly have seen the sin in our hearts this year in a way that we never have before. And maybe you walked in here this afternoon and your faith was waning a little bit. Yeah, I know Jesus died, but I know Jesus died, but the fruit that I believe, it's got to be this massively growing character. I know Jesus died, I know, but that sin in the past, there's no way. Friends, you cannot out-sin the cross. And I pray that as we go through the rest of Holy Week, that we would remember even today, Jesus died in my place. It is finished. Finished. When Jesus was about to take his last breath and said, "It is finished," friends, he meant it. You cannot out-sin the cross. And I would encourage you today, on this day, not to move past it. I know discipleship will take us past it. We will begin to grow in our sanctification. We will engage in the means of grace. We will surround ourselves with the communion of saints. But today, on this day, as you recall it, remember, it is finished, and he absolutely meant it. Let me pray for us. Jesus, you said in your word, even after this, there's this beautiful story in Acts chapter 10 that you share with us, where you allowed Peter to walk into this trance, and Lord, he saw a cloth coming down and animals on it that for him were unclean. And Jesus, you tell us that he heard a voice that told him to kill the animals and to eat them. But Peter knew they were unclean, and so he says, "Lord, I have not let animals that are unclean, I have not let those touch my lips." And Lord, you remind us that the voice said to Peter, "What God has called clean, do not call common." And Lord, we come to you on this Good Friday, and for so many of us, this year it has been tremendously hard to believe your words that it is finished. Lord, we even confess that so often we have called common We have called unclean what you have called clean. Lord, for many of us, we've lost count of how many Good Friday services we've been to. We've lost count of the amount of times that you have reminded us of the sacrifice of your son, Jesus. We have read about it. We have heard about it. Our parents have told us of the great, great story. We have celebrated it. We have taught it. And our faith still wanes. So Lord, in your mercy, even today as you recount watching your son sacrifice his life on our behalf, watching your precious only begotten son become the atonement for our sin, Lord, as you recall that day, will you grant us faith? Will you give us the ability to remember those words and to believe those words? Would you, Lord, restore the joy of our salvation on this Good Friday? And as we look back with eyes of faith and we see the bloodied body of our Savior, a man who was the image of somebody who is cursed, the image of somebody who the wrath of God had been poured out on him because of our sin, the one who chose himself to become a curse on our behalf. Lord, as we look back, would you help us to believe? Jesus, we wrestle. Thank you for regularly reminding us of the good news of the atonement, that Jesus died for me. And it is finished. Would you help us to believe that today with all of our hearts? Jesus, thank you. Thank you for everything that this day means. Thank you that you did not quit. You did not give up on us in the garden. And you went in obedience to the Father. You went on your own accord. You laid down your life on our behalf. And in your love for us, with your last breaths, you told us it was finished. Lord, we are so grateful. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to the Perimeter Church Sermon Podcast. Perimeter Church is located at the corner of Highway 141 and Old Alabama Road in Johns Creek, Georgia. Please visit our website at www.perimeter.org for more information, to give us your feedback, and to find other sermons from our teaching team. Thanks for making this podcast a part of your day.